FIP.
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 Formerly
incarcerated
people's
performance
project.
First-hand accounts of mass incarceration presented on stage, how we got there, what goes on inside, and what happens after. Illuminating the realities of surviving the world's largest incarcerator, the United States. In this episode, we hear about healthcare inequities in the prison system with three firsthand accounts by Tylon T. Boogie Sizemore, Tony Cyprian, and Pamela Kane. A 2013 analysis found each year of incarceration shortens a person's lifespan by 2 years. The poor quality of healthcare staffing and facilities, lack of oversight and accountability, high cost of co-pays charged to prisoners, and the general dehumanization that occurs in a carceral system based on punishment are among the factors that contribute to the terrible medical outcomes in America's prison population. Our first story is from Tylon, who works as an intensive case manager, helping people in and out of custody re-entering society. And she does stand up. While serving a prison sentence, Tylon experienced inadequate health care, suffered multiple emergency surgeries, and almost died. And she lost what for many women is the core experience of womanhood.
My mom was a vegetarian. Like, when I tell y'all I got sick and she would burn frankincense and myrrh and like, I didn't get to go to the hospital. I didn't know what the inside, you know, that just wasn't my thing. You burn some incense, some sage or something. Tofu cleanse. But here I am. So how did I end up in prison? Well, thanks to our lovely California penal code system, I slid credit cards. Yes, I did. The lady stated I was a very friendly bank robber. Wasn't that nice? She said I was kind. I ended up going to 5 different counties, not knowing anything about the law. None of that is in layman's terms. You don't understand none of that. All I know is when they told me after that last round of county that I could go home, I went home. So let's just fast forward. 3 years pass. I don't understand restitution. I owe $6,000. Mind you, I'm married now. I'm happy. I'm working, going to school, trying to get my life back. I never touch another credit card again because, first of all, putting on somebody else's underwear just ain't a thing for me. You go to jail, you got to wear them reused clothes, bras, panties, all the just nasty. Well, I'm driving in my little car, San Francisco, minding my business, the sun shining. Taxpaying citizen, mind you. The light's yellow. I keep going. Who stops at yellow? Officer said it was red. We go back and forth. I said, dude, come on. He was like, nah, that was red. No. Give me the ticket so I can go home. Well, he says, ma'am, you have to step out the vehicle. You have a no-bail warrant in Solano County. I said, sir, we are in San Francisco. Well, I had no bail warrant for $6,000 restitution that I didn't pay back to the bank that I had defrauded. So I get carted off to Solano County. They go ahead and run me through, see the public defender. Pretty cool guy. I even had a cool-ass DA. Who knew that? I didn't even know they had them. He was actually impressed that I was working and married. Verified everything. Told me I was going home. I'm in the thing. I'm doing the cabbage patch. I'm finna go home. I get in front of this judge, this old fake ass, goddamn wannabe Santa Claus looking ass white man with a goddamn raggedy ass beard. Wasn't so pudgy or fun looking. You like to take people's credit cards and checks and do what you want to. I'm sentencing you to 2 years in a correctional facility. What? I passed out in the courtroom. My knees buckled. The DA stood up. He said, excuse me, Your Honor, that wasn't the recommendation of the court. That's my story. Carted off to prison. In prison, they make you eat so f***ing fast because there's so many people there that you don't get to sit down and enjoy any type of delicacy. Don't let it be Chili Birthday Day. You better hurry up and eat. You ain't getting to sit down and say hi to nobody. You don't get to do none of that. Sit down. Next row. Sit down. Next row. Now, who knew that eating fast after a year and a half would have caused my intestines to erupt? I'm on the yard, get a pain. I get inside. I try to make it to my bunk. I get there. They let me in my room, and that's when all hell broke loose. MTA stood over me. CO came, snatched me up. I ended up at Madera Community Hospital with 105 temp, defecation, vomiting, and I don't remember how I even got there. Wake up, Jackson Pratt drains, 31 staples, took out my appendix. I had two surgeries in 5 days because they took out my appendix and realized, nope, something else is wrong. Took 15 doctors to try to figure out what was wrong with me because I was so young. When I came out that hospital, though, after 30-something days and walked on that prison yard, people thought they seen a ghost. I didn't even know they had told people they thought I died because they didn't see me in the infirmary because of the way I was treated. But the women in there, so resilient, made me chicken noodle soup. I never had to go back to that goddamn dining hall again. They fed me for the rest of my duration and my stay. The inmates did. I get home. I don't know nothing about having surgeries. I don't know that I have adhesions. I don't know that I got all this scarring. I don't know none of this. All I know is every time that pain, not understanding what's going on, I got these pains, y'all, these pains that I just wanted to know what was wrong. But no, I'm labeled as an opioid dependent now because Kaiser says, well, here, take this. Here, take that. No one ever told me what the f*** was going on. I remember I went to the emergency room one time. I'm coming in there. I can't walk. I just didn't want to die. Because when you go to prison, they make you fill out a f***ing sheet with an outlined body that says, where do you want your body to go if you should so happen to die? Like the f*** I could put Disneyland or some f***. Like, where are you going? Like, what I'm going to do? So now I'm home trying to care for myself. Now I'm home trying to live right. Now I'm paying taxes and I'm still getting treated like a piece in this healthcare system that apparently clearly don't like the color of my skin, or is that what it is? Oh, but Kaiser's slick though. They put me down as an opioid. So I'm in the emergency room and this guy comes in here and stands over me and says, yeah, well, I'm not giving you no drugs. I don't know why you in here. I snatched every IV that was in my arm out and hobbled the f*** out of that goddamn Oakland Kaiser. I had blood dripping everywhere. I was livid because, again, I just want to know what's wrong with me. Somebody said, go to Richmond Kaiser. I live way in Oakland. Just go to Richmond Kaiser. I met this Asian lady, Tracy. I love her. She was the doctor that finally gave me an MRI. Only to find out that my uterus, I have the opposite of endometriosis, which is adenomyosis. So all that scarring and all that stuff has now required me to have to remove my uterus to relieve this pain. I'm passing blood clots that's big like tennis balls, and I'm not knowing why I can't have kids. I don't understand what's going on here. So Tracy finally hooks me up. And then the depression comes. Took me a long time to get out of that darkness of, damn, $6,000 restitution costing me my f***ing uterus. Are you serious? Only to come home, do your time, and get treated like a piece of s*** when you really just need help. I had to get an hysterectomy, and I remember my doctor, her crying with me because we tried everything to not remove the one thing that makes you a woman, that ability to get life. It's different when your choice is taken away. It hurts different. I used to wake up, I couldn't even see a pregnant woman walk down the street without crying. And then I go to the resentment of why did I have to go to prison for $6,000 funky ass dollars costing the state of California all that money. It cost $50,000 back then per year to take care of an inmate. I only owe six. Now the state of California, you got a $100,000 bill for what?
Tylon served 2 years in prison for violating her probation by unknowingly failing to pay restitution. The healthcare failure she experienced in prison have led to lifelong disabilities. Tony has been out since 2011, working, married, and lighting up stages around the bay. While in prison, he watched a close friend, Jackie, die, whose health problems weren't taken seriously enough. Tony organized a prison strike to demand better healthcare treatment. This is his story.
That's the fifth inmate to die in this prison in the past 2 months. We gotta shut this bitch down. So I went to my homies. Hey, cuz, we gotta shut this motherfucker down. Ghost, cuz, we with you, but it just can't be us, cuz. You gotta get them red rags on board. So now I gotta go talk to the Bloods. Yeah, Ghost, we heard about what happened with Jackie. Blood was always cool with us. You know, he was always bicking back being bull with us. But Ghost, it just can't be the Crips and the Bloods riding for Jackie. You gotta get them Woods on board. So now I gotta go talk to the white boys. But I just don't go talk to any white boys. I gotta go talk to the Stockton white dudes. Because Jackie was from Stockton. And the Stockton white dudes and the black dudes, they had a different rapport than everybody else. Hey, Cliffy. Hey man, y'all heard what happened with Jackie.
Damn right, brother. Jackie was the fucking coal in the wood pile, brother. Hell yeah, we'll ride with you, but it just can't be us, brother. You gotta get those Mexicans on board.
So now I gotta go talk to the Southsiders. Hey, Flaco. Hey, man, you heard what happened with Jackie.
Simone, I said, we heard that shit, don't mean. We'll shut this bitch down with you guys if you can get those fucking Norteños to roll with us, I said.
It just can't be us, homie. You gotta get those Norteños on board. Now here comes the politics. So I go to Cholo. Hey, Cholo. Hey, man, y'all heard what happened with Jackie, right?
Yeah, we did, didn't it? You know, I had a homie fill out a sick call slip essay for the dentist, and he's still waiting, homie. That was 5 years ago. So, hey, I know you come over here to ask me, homie, if we're gonna do a shutdown with you guys. But, you know, we just can't jump in the ride like that, Ghost. We gotta send a kite up to Pelican Bay. It's gotta come back down to New Folsom. Then it's gotta hit Tehachapi. Then it's gotta work its way back to Soledad. Then it's gotta go through the chain and go down to Chino for some apparent reason. They say, I don't know why. So, is that a yes or no?
So Tuesday morning came, and five of us met at the dip bars. Mumpy, Toonie, Naughty, DB, and myself. We're supposed to be in a one-way movement right now. This is chow. This is very important. To stop at the dip bars? Oh, everybody is looking. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Well, we start our stride.
We were striking out across their yard. It was all in slow motion.
I feel like I'm in a Western movie. And all of a sudden you hear this cop say, get off the grounds! Hey, get those inmates off the grounds! Who got those inmates on the grounds? Get them off the grounds! But we kept our stride all the way to the center complex
better known as the police station. And when we get there, that cop is saying,
"Hey, move along from there. Get away from there. Hey, get out of there. Go back to your housing units. Go."
And just like in the movies, we say,
"Hey, man, we want to see the warden."
And right out that visiting room back door pops the warden. "Gentlemen, what seems to be the problem?"
"Miss Crawford, we want to know why you letting inmates die in this prison."
"We're not allowing inmates to die in here. Nobody's letting nobody die in here. What do you mean somebody's dying in here? Nobody's dying in here. If you guys have a problem with the medical procedures in this prison, you need to file out a 602. Follow the procedures."
"Well, you just had Jackie die on your watch. You had that dude die on your watch that went to the dentist and got that abscess tooth pulled and that poison released into his body. That dude, you let him die. And that was just a couple of weeks ago. And then you let those two white dudes die over there on the 3-yard. I turned around to look behind me. There had to be 75 other men standing behind me.
Oh, our chest swole up.
"Oh, we're not going anywhere now." Then Crawford says,
"Well, do you guys have a representative you want to send in?"
So we sent in the homie Mump. He went in and spoke for us. And then the cop said,
"Okay, nothing more to see here. Everybody move along."
And there was this little white guy, man. Love this dude for this. Name was Jim Bean. He stuck his head through that crowd.
"We're not going anywhere until Henry comes out."
And we stayed posted. And for that lightweight demonstration, we got a medical annex out the deal,
where you could drop your sick call slips into a box and they were supposed to see you within 48 hours.
It lasted for about 18 months. And then it was back to business as usual.
But I tell you, what was so magical about that is that healthcare was the common factor that brought everyone together.
Now, they found Jackie dead in that state bed. The system doesn't care. They'll have a brand new inmate sleeping right there. Now, I didn't know the brother from a can of paint, but yet he became my saint. This green-eyed, light-skinned OG by the name of Jackie. Oh. Saints illuminate the darkness. They shine. His light was so bright, even after his death, he made a prison yard unite.
Tony was 18 years old when he was sentenced to life with the possibility of parole for murder. He served 26 years before being released in 2011. Pamela holds a drug and alcohol abuse counselor certification and is finishing up a college degree. She's now living on her own after spending the first 6 years post-release in a sober living house. Before she was released, Pamela watched her friend wither away and die from breast cancer because the prison healthcare system took so long to respond to her complaints and secure a diagnosis and care. She shares the dehumanizing conditions her friend was subjected to in the last months of her life under medical care in prison.
"I went to my door today. I'm standing there and Juicy comes to hers, but no smile on her face. She looks serious. 'Pamela, here, feel my breast. It's so hard and swollen.' I put my hand there where hers was. It was hard as a rock. 'Juicy, you need to drop a slip. You need to have that looked at. Now, we have a doctor we call the veterinarian. And in truth, he's not even competent to take care of animals. I've had many a run-in with him. I had a bone disease and both my hips collapsed. And as a result, I had a full hip replacement. Still causes me pain. and I've dropped my slips just to have him turn me away. I see you're here for a cold. Yeah, and I was wondering if I could get some ibuprofen for my hips. What is wrong with your hips? I had a total replacement. Drop your pants. Let me see your scars. You'll have to drop another slip for that. It's just you people searching for drugs. Ibuprofen's not a drug. It's an anti-inflammatory. Well, do you think I could have my dad mail me in some shoes that'll be better on my hips than these prison boots? No. Only the diabetics get shoes mailed in. We're done here. So quit asking questions, so I will write you a ticket for insubordination. Now get out. And that was when you were lucky enough to see him. See, to go to healthcare, you have to drop a slip. Each slip costs $5 out of your state pay. You do this once, you see a nurse. You do it 3 times, you finally get to see him. $15. 3 slips is $15. That's a whole state paycheck for some of us. It makes you decide between like buying tampons and a deodorant or coffee creamer and sugar. These are big decisions when you're in prison, and $15 a month is all you get to live on for the work you do in prison? Juicy must have dropped many a slip to have him turn her away. She keeps having all us girls check her breast, and the swelling's getting worse. Her breast has nearly doubled in size, and the vet just isn't sending her to see a specialist. Juicy's getting moved from my unit today. I probably won't see her again. She's going to the other half of the prison. Well, there's some things that get me through, like my job. I have a really sweet job. Outside grounds, mostly dumping prison trash, chow hall slop. It leaks all over you, but it's fantastic. You see, because you get to go outside at night, and in prison, you're not allowed to go out at night. And now I'm walking under the glittering stars, the bright shining moon, the air is crisp, and I'm trudging through like 3 feet of snow just to dump the prison trash. This is so cool. But every 6 months you get a job change, and they tell you by putting a slip of paper on your bed. They're making me a healthcare porter. My pay is going down from $30 a month to $15 a month. It's a truly boring job, just sweeping and mopping, bleaching the examination rooms, tying off the biohazard bags to put in the hallway for the night trash crew. I went in there to work, and they asked me to go sweep and mop one of the patients' rooms. Juicy, oh my God, how are you? She says the words to me no one wants to hear. Girl, they pulled me out of the pods last month to start chemo. I've got cancer. My God. Has it been over 2 years since she started complaining about her breast and the hardness and the swelling, and they're just now starting chemo? Oh, Juicy, I am so sorry. I mean, like, what do you say? It's like an awkward comeback. It's like, ugh. But 5 days a week, I'm going in there to clean, and I say things like, do you have any visitors today? You look great today. Juicy, how you doing? Girl, you know how they be up in here. She talks about how terrible the prison nurses are to her. She once asked for this foam piece that you put under your knees, you know, the kind that takes the pressure off your back. They told her, just roll up a blanket instead and throw that under your knees. They had the foam piece. I could see it there behind their desk. They just wouldn't give it to her. Pam, I am so embarrassed to ask you this. She asked me to put a diaper pad in her underwear because the nurses weren't assisting her to get up and go when she needed to. Her hair is starting to fall out, and she's losing a lot of weight. In this last 4 months, she's lost even more weight, and she's getting weak. When I went in there tonight, she says, Pamela, guess what? Now, don't tell anybody, but they're going to give me surgery. Now, I don't know why you're not supposed to tell anybody. Maybe it's a security risk when the gates open, or maybe if you're outside, somebody could pass you drugs and you could bring them back in. I don't know, but all I do know is when Juicy leaves, they'll have her shackled by the arms and by the legs with 2 COs escorting. When she comes back, it's only been a couple nights. She's really groggy. They've got her on morphine. Hey, Pam. Hey, Juicy. The tumor was the size of a grapefruit, they said. They took my lymph nodes and both my breasts, too. She lifts her shirt and she shows me the incision of where the bloody staples are across her chest and down her ribs. Can you please help me take a shower? They won't let me. Come on, Juicy, I'm gonna get you that shower. So we get her out of bed I'd already put a chair in there for her to sit down. We remove her soiled garments, still stained with the fresh blood from her surgery, sit her down, and as the water starts pouring on her, all you could see was brown leaking down into the drain. That's how dirty she was. Pam, could you please wash my head? Now, all her hair was gone, but I still washed her head. I gave her a head massage. I wanted her to feel good, touched, human touched. She wanted to wash where she could by herself. That's dignity. Just then, a CO burst into the room. What are you two doing in here? You can't have two of you in here. Which is weird because he's a man and he's not supposed to be in the women's showering room. I look at him and I'm thinking, the hell does it look like I'm doing? But what I said was, she wanted a shower, so I'm getting her a shower. You can't do that. You can't have two of you in here. So you need to get out. I'm going to finish giving her a shower. You do that, I'm going to give you a sexual. Are you serious? I'm fully clothed. Just get out of here or you spend 30 days in SIG. Now, a sexual is one of the worst tickets you could get. And he wrote me one. So IA, the warden, and the CO sat on this ticket for about a week. They dismissed it. But they said from now on out, if I wanted to bathe her, I had to give her a sponge bath. I thought this was horrible. Watching her decline is tragic. This once beautiful, jovial, sturdy woman is now nothing of what she used to be. She's completely unresponsive now. I was told I should go see Juicy. Her brother and his wife were allowed to come. They said I should talk to her. So I'm looking at her. Her head's way back. Her eyes are rolled back into her head. Her mouth open and her breathing was labored. And I couldn't help but think, she's somebody's sister. She's someone's daughter. She's a mother to five kids. So I got down in her ear. Juicy, you look beautiful, honey. Everybody's praying for you. I love you, Juicy. It's all gonna be okay, I promise.
Pamela served 5 years of a 9-year sentence in an Illinois state prison for fraudulent activities. She was paroled in 2017. FIP, the Formerly Incarcerated People's Performance Project, works with people who've survived jails and prison to share their experiences on stage through the power of personal narrative. More information about our work and upcoming 4-day FIP Fest at the Berkeley Repertory Theater, January 15th to the 18th, 2026, is on our website, fipp.org. It also includes an events page for listings of other live performances throughout the San Francisco Bay Area. Mark Kenward is the executive producer. Mark McGoldrick is the producer. Jim Granato is the videographer, archivist, and sound engineer. I'm Christina Onnested, host and producer. Our theme music is New World by Fielder Beats with a Creative Commons license. A special thank you to the Berkeley Repertory Theater, where FIP is proud to work as their first ever company in residence, the Zellerbach Family Foundation, the Community Arts Fund, and the UCSF-UC Law Consortium on Law, Science, and Health Policy for supporting our work and helping to make this podcast possible. And to KPFA Radio for broadcasting the FIP podcast and radio show. And thank you for listening.